Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. How are we doing this week, Chris?
I'm great, Jim. It's always a great time to talk Penn State and college football.
It always is, and it's always a good time to talk Penn State sports. Chris, that's my segue to talk about our event that we have coming up this week. We're going to be doing a special edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show on this coming Wednesday, that's March 27th, from Doggy's Pub in downtown State College. We're going to have as our special guest, Sharmarette Curtis, legendary field hockey coach. That is, if she could make it back on her flight from Montana. And we're also going to have Clarissa Kroll. She's the softball coach. The softball team's been doing really well this year, so I'm anxious to talk to her. And Doggies, they have a setup really great. We're going to be in that back room area. They have a fantastic drink special with Blake's Hard Cider. If you haven't tried it, it's fantastic. And I'm told they're also going to be doing some food specials. So join me, Landon Tangwall, Kendall Skalicki, as we host this special Keystone Kickoff live show. That's at Doggies Wednesday night from 5:30 to 7:30. Chris, are we going to see you there?
I am going to be there for at least part of it. Who knows if I have to be involved in behind-the-scenes technical shenanigans to help you folks out. But for sure, I will be there. I got to give a lot of credit to the folks at Doggy's Pub because they have done an unbelievable job of maintaining the vibe and the feel of that bar, which was a fixture of State College for decades. If folks don't know, most of you, if you've not been back to town for a while, you remember it as the Rathskeller. And I mean, it looks and feels exactly like you remember it, except better. They've done a really nice job making a few small alterations to the interior. So again, you still get that vibe, but it's a little bit more open. It feels like a little bit bigger bar. And all they did was take out some walls and make a few minor alterations. And then they've added this amazing outdoor patio, which has just really plussed up the experience of that corner of town. So very, very cool. And the softball team is on a heater, man. And if you remember from last year, women's softball is really starting to grow a big national audience. So if there were a time for Penn State to kick it up a gear or two, it's right now. So yeah, I'm excited about that also.
So am I. And my plan is, the team plays on Tuesday night prior to our show Wednesday. So I'm planning on being in for that. I've watched a lot of the, you know, the College World Series. ESPN covers that now. It's a great event. It really is. And if you're a baseball fan, trust me, you will really like softball. It's such a fast game. The one complaint about baseball is how slow moving it is. Not with softball. It really moves. Very talented athletes. I'm really impressed at the collegiate level just how good these players are, Chris. So I'm anxious to see Penn State play this week. That's Tuesday night. But remember, Wednesday night, if you're in State College, come on out and visit us at Doggy's Pub. We'll be there, the event, 5:30 to 7:30. But from 6 to 7, we will be live streaming the event. When Chris talked about the technical shenanigans, that's what we're talking about. We're counting on Chris's help to make sure that all happens smoothly. We'll put out a link for everybody. It's our Keystone Sports YouTube channel, which is kind of new. But that's the plan for live streaming it if you can't be in State College. All right, Chris, let's move on. We're talking about some other sports besides football. If we're going to do that, got to mention wrestling. Oh, my goodness. This is the definition of a dynasty, right?
11 of the last 13 years, national champions. And this team may go down remembered as the greatest NCAA wrestling champ of all time. Certainly, they broke the record held by the Iowa Hawkeyes for the most points scored in a national tournament. They set the record for the largest margin of victory at 100 points. They had 8 All-Americans, 4 national champions, 2 of whom were 4-time national champions, which prior to this past weekend had only been done 5 times in the history of the sport. And Carter Starace and Aaron Brooks both did it on Saturday night. Really, it's unbelievable, Jim, the definition of embarrassment of riches, how spoiled we have become as the Alabama of college wrestling, that after everything I just rattled off, what is sticking in my craw is how unbelievably close Bo Bartlett and Mitchell Messenbrink were to winning their matches and making it 6 national champions. Like, I was joking with some friends after after the finals were over on Saturday night, that it is 2024, and I can still tell you in detail about the endings of Chicago Bulls games against the Charlotte Hornets and Toronto Raptors in 1996 that should have, absolutely should have been wins number 73 and 74. So 72 wins record, like best regular season record for a champ, you know, that's all great. I can tell you about how Dennis Rodman missed by, like, you know, a hair's breadth, a tip in against Charlotte that would have been win number 73, and they should have beat the Raptors too. So that's me. After Penn State wins this unbelievably historic victory, all I'm doing is looking at that 172.5 and thinking, my God, how much better would it have been if we could have added 2 more wins to that? But those guys are going to be back, and they're going to get their shot at redemption next year. And that's the amazing thing. For how good this team is, Jim, we're just going to continue to reload. Penn State's going to bring another monster team back next season. And I just want to say a special word about Carter Starace. Like, that guy, in my opinion, needs to achieve like instant mythological figure status at Penn State. He has been an absolute killer since he stepped on campus. Like I said, a 4-time national champion. He is one of 7 to do it. And his teammate Aaron Brooks was one of the others in the same night. But I think for those who may not be following it too closely, Starace got injured, a very serious knee injury, potentially an ACL tear, in the final match of the regular season. Penn State's blowing out Edinburgh. It's just like a very routine pro forma day. And here, this great athlete who's going for the crowning jewel of his career suffers this terrible injury. And so he had to injury default out of the Big Ten tournament to give him time to recover. And all he did was rip through some of the best wrestlers in the country on his way to winning a 4th national title. Like, that guy needs to be celebrated as one of the greatest Nittany Lions of all time. All credit to Carter Starace. Amazing. And we're just, I can't underscore how lucky we are as an institution and as a community and as fans to have Cale Sanderson. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It is. It's one thing to bring in the best athletes for your team, but to make sure you win the way he has. And just a couple things in response to what you've said here, Chris. First of all, you mentioned that, you know, Penn State is the Alabama of wrestling. I prefer to look at it as Alabama trying to be the Penn State of football. Alabama wishes in football they could have the dominance Penn State has had in wrestling. In their dreams is the only way that would exist, okay? That's how dominant this Penn State wrestling team has been. The other thing, I want to do a shout out to our colleague Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State wrestling, who before this season even started, I'm not a big wrestling guy, but I asked Jeff, well, just how good is this team going to be? Well, Jim, let me just tell you, this might be the best team ever. And he went through the whole thing before the season started. He called it, gave me all the numbers, and sure enough, it came true. Now, on the flip side, I want to call myself, even though they overcame it, I talked to Jeff a few weeks ago. Well, prior to the Edinburgh match, we were just doing a preview of postseason, what's coming up. And Jeff explained, well, they have this match against Edinburgh, which will be, you know, pretty much a walkover before they hit the Big Tens. And I'm not sure exactly how they do this in wrestling. I said, well, against Edinburgh, since it's, you know, they're just going to dominate them, will we see some backups put in, you know, not wanting to risk injury prior to any of the tournament? Oops, the Jim Jinx. I guess I should not have said that, Chris.
Well, the flip side, other way to look at that, Jim, is that despite the injury, he still won. So perhaps he owes you a small debt of gratitude for helping him build the, you know, the significance of his legend.
it now becomes a much better story for him, the coming.
Absolutely. You throw in the Willis Reed angle on that story, and it makes it even better and more unbelievable.
Chris, just a question for you here. The Willis Reed angle.
Yeah.
What percentage of our audience do you think understands that reference?
Less than 17%. Folks, I don't know. Maybe this is the wrong way to look at it, but I just throw it out there. And for those of you, always, I mean, we always say this with the folks on Obligatory. It's like, if you're among the ones who get it, we're here for you. And if you're not, raise your game, right? It's a Google is a thing.
Go look it up. Yes, it did involve an injury. And you mentioned Carter Strzok.
Another NBA reference, and I guarantee you the percentage is way higher than the people who remember Charlotte Hornets and Raptors games against the Bulls from 1996.
I will concede I am among those. Yes, I did not remember. Fortunately for me, you explained the Bulls reference. Willis Reed, I got that right off the bat. And with Carter Straka, by the way, with the way it worked by him having to not participate or do the medically not incapable of performing at the Big Tens, he came into the national seeded ninth, which means he had to work his way through, you know, getting the number one seed very early, having to really go through a tough path. And to his credit, he just said ahead of time, hey, you know, you got to beat these guys eventually. May as well get them up front. All right, Chris.
Yeah, it did not matter. Those guys were already dead before they stepped on the mat.
All right, Chris, that's going to have to be it for quarter number one. I promise we're going to get to football in quarter number two.
Hi, I'm Andrew Blake, CEO of Blake's Hard Cider Company, located on our fourth generation family farm here in Armada, Michigan. At Blake's, we value quality, consistency, and flavor above all else, and work hard every day to deliver our products to a store near you. Here at Blake's, we're all about the apple. The apples are grown, picked, pressed, and fermented right here. We aim to excite your taste buds and aspire to explore the flavors of the farm in every can. Enjoy a Blake's today with friends and family. Cheers.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buccanani. Chris, we spent the first segment and very deservedly so talking about Penn State wrestling. Just a record-setting performance by them. Just fantastic. As promised, we're going to get back to football, which means also you got to
Hey, Jim.
Yes. Froze.
I got one more other Penn State sports shout-out I got to give before we go to football. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
I would be remiss to not mention that it was a great weekend for Penn State sports. Also, the women's lacrosse team defeated number one Northwestern here at Penn State at Panzer Stadium, 14-13. So you get a conference win and you knock off number one. Good for them.
It really is. Although it sounds funny saying Northwestern number one at any sport, but there it is.
That's true. Very true.
You know, it's like one of those. I saw the headline from it and I'm like, Northwest, wait a minute, before I saw the sport, and I'm like, which sport is that they're number one? But the other sport that Penn Staters are so good at, and you got to appreciate the segue, tailgating, Chris. And if you're ready to upgrade your tailgating experience, it is time for Revel XP. You know what? It's almost time for the annual spring game. And if you're ready to tailgate close to the stadium, get the tents, tables, chairs, even the ice, all there ready and waiting for you, then you got to check out RevelXP.com. They could even help you out with catering. So by the way, we at Keystone Sports, that's where we do our tailgating. So check out RevelXP.com and experience turnkey tailgating. Maybe we'll even see you there at the spring game. I hope so. We will definitely be there just celebrating the fact that football is back. All right, Chris, let's talk some football. You and I have talked through the week and off the air, and for the last couple weeks on the air, talking so much about what's going on in college football in general, just the issues with between NIL and the portal. And we're going to get to Caden Proctor, the guy who's Iowa, Alabama, back and forth. But I found it interesting. You had a solution that you thought Penn State should implement right away. Explain the Chris Buchanan plan for Penn State.
Well, look, at this point, it's, I think, crystal clear that the NCAA has lost all control of the sport. When they got slapped down in court this most recent time, where they were basically defanged of all enforcement power around NIL, to me, it was already flogging the corpse at that point. But if it wasn't clear already that you're beating the dead horse, that the NCAA is donezo, you stick a fork in them, like, that was it. Like, what do they do? What do they do if they can't enforce their own rules? And so, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Penn State's got 97 guys on scholarship. How are they going to get down to 85? And my solution was simple. Don't. Just keep the 97 guys. What are they going to do, right? Well, in the spirit of that, I've been thinking about this more and more in the direction that they're going. You know, you saw Trev Alberts, the Nebraska alum who was the Cornhuskers athletic director, leave there to go to College Station because Texas A&M threw a bunch of money at him. And once he got there, he said, you know, we're in our budgeting process, we're already anticipating that a few years down the line, we're going to be looking at revenue sharing with the athletes to the tune of $25 to $30 million a year. If this is happening, and it's going to happen, and it's crystal clear that it's going to happen, and I would argue that it is, just do it. If I were inside the athletic department right now, I'd be pounding the tables so hard and so insistently that they'd either follow through or fire me just to shut me up. I would say, let's just pay them right now. Let's just come up with a plan, announce it this summer, and say, starting this fall, Penn State is going to share revenue with his football players. You know, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. College football is going in this direction. We're going to pay our guys. I am relatively confident, Jim, that before we see a structured system in place of revenue sharing, some school is going to go rogue and say, look, we're done doing the dance of the seven veils with these NIL collectives and pretending like this is politics where the candidates don't coordinate with the super PACs. And you know, we're playing telephone game with these guys. No, like, we're done. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows what the right thing to do is here. And we're just going to pay these guys. And why not make it Penn State? Just cut them a check directly. Who's going to punish you?
Well, here would be my fear if it worked that way.
NCAA, give me a break.
Well, my fear would be, Chris, that it creates a bidding war. Because, again, these guys are total free agents. And it's like professional sports. They had to police themselves and create caps and so on to keep it from getting crazy. I would prefer if, say, a conference did it. If, and now with the Big Ten and Southeast Conference talking to each other, I'd like to see the two commissioners get together and say, okay, we're going to do it, but let's collectively bargain with our players. Let's set a rate at what we're going to pay them, because we could be killing each other here. Let's say, you know, Ohio State determines that $50,000 is the going rate for their players. What if Alabama says $100,000? Well, Michigan comes up and says, well, at least for the quarterback, we're going to do $200,000. Uh-oh, now we're in a bidding war for the quarterbacks, and who knows where that bidding would end. So, you know, my feeling, and
well, look, there is a bidding war, and there's going to continue to be. And just to be clear, I'm being more than a tad facetious here, although I do think that one way maybe this happens is that a school comes out and says, hey, in 2025, we're going to start paying our players. And then that will catalyze action by the conferences. Like, it would never actually get there. So, again, I'm not in an actual serious way pounding the table that Penn State pay its players. But part of me is looking at this absolutely absurd, backward system we have right now. And I am deeply desirous of somebody getting in there, showing some leadership, ripping off the Band-Aid and fixing this thing, because this is a nice transition to talk about Caden Proctor. This intermediary, neither here nor there, of old college football versus new we are living in now is preposterous, and it needs to die a quick and, in my opinion, better, the more painful, the better death as soon as possible.
Well, Chris, I like the idea of paying the players. Now, first of all, you know, you say being facetious about Penn State, you know, being the trailblazer. Well, first of all,
no, there's like collective bargaining and Title IX stuff. It's a very tangled mess. It's not as simple as, hey, we're going to cut them a check.
Well, yeah, but my,
although if they just did it, it would be fascinating to see how the rest of the world responded.
Well, see, the thing is, the NCAA is now without power. To me, the power resides with the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference. Translate ESPN Correct. And Fox, all right? What if they just said,
yes,
this is what we're going to do? And remember, the money's coming in. What is with the new television contract, what is it the Big Ten individual teams are making per year? What, $60 million, $70
million? Oh, Marone, it's like $75 million and going
okay,
up.
Okay, let's go with $75. And the new contract for the playoffs, the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten getting the larger share, teams are going to get an additional $22 million from that TV contract. So we're approaching $100 million of revenue from television alone, Chris. What if the bargaining was, you know what, the players get compensated 10% of the TV revenue? You've got so much additional revenue that you picked up.
That seems reasonable to me. I mean, I have to sit and think through that a little bit. We need to get to a point where you're quoting these numbers, Jim, and we're talking about billions across conferences and, you know, 100 million when you're talking about one institution. And yet still we sit here today, we will go into this season with the same ludicrous system where after Penn State loses a game, I mean, if they do, hand to God, Jim, let's hope that doesn't become an issue, right? Like, we don't have to worry about reaction after a Penn State loss, but let's be realistic, right? After Penn State or some other school gets its first loss, there are going to be fans flooding social media, pointing the finger at their fellow fans and wagging it and saying, oh, you cheapskates, you're the reason that we lost to, you know, XYZ opponent, because you didn't pony up enough money for NIL. Like, it is just crazy. It's crazy that we are talking about money in the amounts that we just discussed, and somehow the conferences and the member schools have gaslit us, the fan base, the hoi polloi, into believing that it is our responsibility to subsidize their obligation to pay their players. It's nuts. I've said this before. Whatever quibble you may have with the NFL, at least Jeff Lurie has never put out a missive to Eagles fans saying, hey, sorry, we lost to Washington last week, everybody, but it's actually your fault. I need you to send me a check so I can pay Jalen Hurts' salary. It's just, it's nuts. It's nuts. I am all for 100% these guys getting a cut of the money that is generated through their effort and their labor. Although you got to be careful when you use the word labor. It's lowercase L, all right? Not a legal term, just a general term. I am not all for it being on me and you, Jim, to be bankrolling that. It's nuts. It is ridiculous.
Well, Chris, this is the point where I have to embarrass myself again as being a Met fan, where you talked about professional sports. They don't turn it on the fans and say, hey, we're losing these games. Mets management at one point said, well, if the fans would come out a little more, we'd have more revenues so we could raise our payroll. So the Mets, embarrassingly enough, a few years back, they did exactly what you're talking about, Chris.
I mean, fair enough. Like, that's not a great look for the Mets organization. I'm sure you can agree. But the point is the Beaver Stadium is already being filled. Like, our fans are already shelling out major league coin to support this team. The system we have had, it's just nuts. I know we're up against it. We could talk about it more on the other side, but it's crazy.
I will respond to that when we get back. As far as the Mets fandom thing, I have no response for that. I have to shoulder it. I live it, Chris. It just is. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around. We got much more to go come quarter number three.
Hi, I'm Andrew Blake, CEO of Blake's Hard Cider Company, located on our fourth generation family farm here in Armada, Michigan. At Blake's, we value quality, consistency, and flavor above all else, and work hard every day to deliver our products to a store near you. Here at Blake's, we are all about the apple. The apples are grown, picked, pressed, and fermented right here. We aim to excite your taste buds and aspire to explore the flavors of the farm in every can. Enjoy a Blake's today with friends and family. Cheers.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We are talking Penn State football, Penn State sports, college football in general. But before we get started with quarter three, just a reminder, Chris, Wednesday night, that's this Wednesday, March 27th, we're going to have a special live edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That's going to be at Doggy's Pub in downtown State College from 5:30 to 7:30. Tremendous show. We have as our guest, Char Marek Curtis, legendary field hockey coach and now founder of Teammates for Life, the group that is all about supporting women's athletics. We're also going to have Clarissa Kroll. She is the softball coach, and we know that Penn State softball team having a great season. So really anxious to talk to her. Doggies has set us up really well. Can't wait for that. We're going to be in that back room area. They have a fantastic drink special. It's going to be Blake's Hard Cider. The original draft will be only $5. Great deal. If you tried it, it's fantastic. Trust me on that one. So join me, Landon Tangwall, Kendall Skalicki. We'll all be there hosting this special Keystone Kickoff live show at Doggies from 5:30 to 7:30 on Wednesday night. And we will also be live streaming it on our Keystone Sports Network YouTube channel. We're going to get that all figured out, and we'll be sending out the link for that. Looking forward to seeing you, though, at Doggies. Chris, when we finished up quarter number two, we were talking about your idea of Penn State should just be the trailblazer, go out and start paying the players. What's anyone going to do about it? The NCAA won't be able to stop them. We know that's the case. And why not do it? Because we know Penn State's athletic department, they're known for being trailblazers, Chris. We know that, right? Anyway.
I'm sensing a little bit of sarcasm there, Jim, but it's a mixed bag. Let's put it that way. Generally speaking, when it comes to Penn State, not just athletics, I get frustrated sometimes with the obsession with benchmarking against peer institutions. Like, I don't want to benchmark against other schools. I want other schools to benchmark against us. Let's just figure out what we think the right thing to do is and do it. Let's not worry so much about looking all around trying to copy other people's ideas. That's just my pet peeve. But I will say, in Penn State's defense, historically speaking, Penn State actually has been a trailblazer and a standard setter in a lot of areas in college athletics over the years. So, yeah, not always have they behaved in a manner in which you and I might choose them to. But overall, I actually consider myself pretty proud to be a Penn Stater in terms of the overall legacy.
Well, I think, though, looking at the bigger picture, Chris,
it's like life. It's messy, man.
Well, and speaking of messy, all of college football is messy right now. To me, there is no doubt that the schools should be the ones compensating the players. It shouldn't be, as you pointed out, hey, it's the NIL. So the university, again, has to put heat on the fans. It's like, it's not like they aren't taking enough money for tickets and everything else that goes on. And they are collecting.
It is one of the most amazing scams ever to have been perpetuated. Like, it is like a Bernie Madoff level scam that has been foisted onto us. Like, it's just, it's crazy. You look at the money they're bringing in, and none of it is flowing directly to the players. And just to be clear, when revenue sharing comes, yeah, for sure, NIL is still going to exist. And I think it's going to look more like what you would hope it would be, a chance for athletes with marketable brands to monetize that. But right now, because we are not having any kind of revenue sharing, we've got to worry about, oh, let's cook up some scheme to give the third string offensive tackle like a pretend endorsement deal so that he doesn't jump in the transfer portal and go play for our rival. And I think you're going to see all of that calm down significantly once there's at least a pretty solid, comfortable floor for all the players on the roster. It'll definitely make it more enjoyable for the fans. There's no doubt
about it. I know this is some territory, Chris, that we've covered before, but if the universities would compensate the players, and I know some fans would talk in terms of, gee, they need more money, they're already getting. Well, here's the thing. I say don't just give the player money to give them the money. There should be something in return. And the biggest thing, and you said this several weeks ago, Chris, do we really care if the players make money? No. Do we care, though, that they leave our university as free agents year after year? Yes, we do. So how do you tie the two together? And I know I've said it before, but you make a contract where there's an obligation. We'll compensate you, but you have to stay with the program. It seems very easy to me, an easy formula to fix two things at once. The players get compensated, but this total and complete free agency goes away because the players would then be obligated to their school for a couple years. So I got a feeling this will not be the last time we have this conversation, Chris. And you mentioned a name earlier in the earlier segment, Caden Proctor. Is this just not the example of everything that is wrong with this whole formula and how it works between the transfer portal and the NIL?
Unbelievably brutal stretch here for Iowa athletics, Jim. That sacred 170-point record in the NCAA wrestling tournament gets busted by Penn State. And as I've joked about before, if you've talked to Iowa wrestling fans, Like, they believe they have God-given ownership of the sport of college wrestling. So any transgressors coming in and stomping on their ground really sticks in their craw. And then, yeah, so Caden Proctor, a little background on the kid. 2 years ago, he was top high school offensive line recruit, five-star guy, Iowa native, commits to the Iowa Hawkeyes football program. Big deal for them to get a five-star recruit, especially an offensive lineman for the type of offense they like to run, right? Well, as tends to happen with these guys who are elite recruits, they accrue to only a few programs across the country 2 days before National Signing Day. He flips to Alabama. Okay, great. No shocker there, right? He goes down to Tuscaloosa and last season starts every game at left tackle for the Crimson Tide. Now, you know, if you are a freshman starting at one of the most important positions on the field, probably the most important position on the offensive line, with all due respect to center, as a true freshman, you got the goods. And so clearly this is a big-time kid who lived up to his billing as a recruit. End of the season, Saban announces he's retiring. Caden Proctor's in the transfer portal. Hey, great news, Iowa fans. We got another bite of the apple on the local kid. All right, I'm going to kick our NIL collective into gear. I'm sure there was no discussion, by the way, between the Iowa coaching staff and the NIL collective in Iowa City, right? They just spontaneously decided, all right, we got to go out. We got to raise $100,000 fast. We got to get Caden Proctor in black and gold. They do it. He announces he's going to Iowa. Bada bing, bada boom, prodigal son comes home. He's an Iowa Hawkeye for about 2.5 months, because a little over a week ago, Caden Proctor announces he is going back in the transfer portal. And in fact, he will be returning to Alabama for his sophomore year. An absolutely ludicrous story. And from what I am hearing and from what I'm being told, he even gets to keep at least some, potentially all, of the NIL money that was committed to him to entice him to sign with the Iowa Hawkeyes out of the portal. Just you can't look me in the eye and say with a straight face that you believe that story indicates that the sport is completely healthy. It is a ridiculous story. Ridiculous.
The good news on this type of thing, though, Chris, is it does this kind of thing prompt change? Does it reach the point where enough people in power say, hey, wait a minute, this is ludicrous? And I think it's interesting that it was a Southeast Conference school and a Big Ten school. And again, as we mentioned earlier,
yeah,
that's where the power resides. So do the commissioners of those two entities say, hey, doesn't matter where the kid eventually ended up. Who knows? Maybe he'll change his mind again and still end up back at Iowa next season. Doesn't matter.
Right.
That doesn't matter. The fact is it's a god-awful look for both schools. It's an awful look for college football. And it's an indicator that, yes, there's something wrong here and something needs to be done with it. And the two commissioners of those two conferences, they're the most powerful guys in college football. It can't be the NCAA. They're powerless here. There's nothing they can do about it. That's already been proven. But what are the conferences willing to do? And this goes back to our conversation about paying players. If those commissioners decided that each of their conferences would do that, would pay the players. And by the way, they're the two conferences that are making the most money by far. So they're the conferences who could most afford to pay the players, Chris. Who else is it going to be?
And correct. And also, with this Caden Proctor story, can we guess I just now just dispense with the increasingly flimsy pretense that college football has anything to do with college, right? You're going to again, you're going to look me in the eye, and you're going to tell me, oh, this is great for this kid's education that he spends a year at Alabama, then he flips and spends one semester on campus in Iowa City, half of which, by the way, he's going to spend as the most hated guy on campus. And I'll be curious to see what happens in terms of him completing all his academic requirements at Alabama, or excuse me, at Iowa. And then he goes back to Alabama. And look, I know the guy is, in all likelihood, he's going to make himself a lot of money playing in the NFL, you know, unless he blows out an ACL or who knows what. But the whole idea is that you want me to continue to buy in on the idea that this is college football? I mean, come on. Yeah, it's great for Storm Duck, right, that he spent time on three different college campuses in 9 months. I'm sure all his credits transferred seamlessly, and he had no problem switching from one class and major and God knows what else to another. It's just, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, this is college football because the stadiums and the facilities are on college campuses and the coaches get paid out of the college budget. By the way, if you're in a unlucky to be in the bottom of the Big Ten, you're subsidizing with your tax and tuition dollars those salaries. So it's, the whole thing is just in a really bad spot. We got to move very quickly to close the loop on this thing and complete the transition to whatever it's going to turn into, because this interstitial period is a nightmare.
It is. And the only guarantee is, and you're right, this is just a middle period. This is not where we are going to end up. The question is, where will we, and can we trust the powers that be that get us into a good place here? Chris, that's it for quarter three. We got more to go, and I'm going to ask you about the ACC when we get back.
Hi, I'm Andrew Blake, CEO of Blake's Hard Cider Company, located on our fourth generation family farm here in Armada, Michigan. At Blake's, we value quality, consistency, and flavor above all else, and work hard every day to deliver our products to a store near you. Here at Blake's, we are all about the apple. The apples are grown, picked, pressed, and fermented right here. We aim to excite your taste buds and aspire to explore the flavors of the farm in every can. Enjoy a Blake's today with friends and family. Cheers.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We're talking pretty much about the state of college football here, Chris. But doesn't matter how college football is going, Chris. Tailgating is always in season and always done well if you track out Revel XP. You know what? It's almost time for the annual spring game. And if you are ready to tailgate close to the stadium, tents, tables, chairs, ice, all provided, they're ready and waiting for you when you check in, then you check out RevelXP.com. They could even help you out with your catering. By the way, we at Keystone Sports, that's where we do our tailgating, and we will be there at the spring game. Hopefully, we'll see you there also. So check out RevelXP.com. That's RevelXP.com. And you, too, can experience turnkey tailgating. All right, Chris, when we finished up quarter number three, we were talking about Caden Proctor, the guy, the player who's going back and forth, Iowa, Alabama, and so on. And you mentioned about like Storm Duck, and as these players keep going back and forth among schools, how does that affect them academically, credits getting transferred, that type of thing? And what's interesting is Caden Proctor, five-star guy, started at Alabama at left tackle, barring major injury. It doesn't matter. The academics are irrelevant. He'll be playing in the NFL, and he'll have a big contract. Irrelevant to him. But the problem is, he is one of the select few. What percentage of college football players, even in the Power 5, 4, whatever it is now, what percentage of them make a living in the NFL, Chris?
It's very low. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I don't think it can be more than 10%. It's probably less than that.
Okay. I was not a math major. Okay. However, I'm thinking if about 10%, let's use that number, make it to the NFL, I think that means 90% do not. That means 90% of them are actually going to be dependent on their academics and their.
And here's the dangerous number, Jim. What percentage of them think they are going to make their money in the NFL?
I think it's the other way.
It's a lot higher than 10, I promise you. Yeah, exactly.
It's 90-10, exactly. But the other way, okay? And that's the problem. And we see it with, and it's still the case, the number of players who go into the transfer portal and what percentage of them never come out of the transfer portal. They give up their scholarship because there's the greener pastures. And that doesn't turn out to be the case for a large number of these players. So all of them looking for that brass ring, so many of them get burned. Now, you know what? The schools probably are not that concerned about that. Unfortunately, a lot of the players are not concerned about that. And they get burned in this whole thing. And no, it's not the responsibility of the NCAA or everyone else to babysit them. They are adults. They're young adults, but they're adults. But it would be nice if somebody were looking out for them, not just, hey, here's how much money we could give you to play on our team, but also worry about them long term. All right, Chris, after that dissertation, let's change topics a little bit. I mentioned that I wanted to ask you about the ACC. It seems like there's no doubt this conference is going the way of the Pac-12. Florida State has been trying to get out by legal means. Clemson has now joined them. Is it going to be long before the ACC just goes away?
Yeah, I think the clock is ticking on the ACC, although this is not going to end up quite like the Pac-12. The Pac-12, unfortunately for them, had, just sort of a, this is a cliche phrase, but a perfect storm of circumstances, because all of the transition happening in college football happened to coincide with when their media rights deal was coming up for renewal. So you had the two big, two big programs. Really, it was USC looking at where they envisioned themselves in the pecking order of college football and where they viewed their market value. And they're watching the Big Ten schools and the SEC schools reap all these financial rewards of new media deals. And at that point, the Big Ten hadn't signed its contract, but it was clear there was going to be a lot of money there. And USC's looking around at the rest of the Pac-12 and realizing this is not going to happen for us here. And so they make the jump to the Big Ten. UCLA comes along. And then that's really the domino that just made it all fall apart out west. The difference for the ACC is they've got this grant of rights deal, which I know we talked about before. I could not believe university presidents were willing to commit to just keep them locked in into the mid-2030s. And so there is going to be a lot of legal wrangling that goes on. And ultimately, there is going to be some substantial financial pain involved for schools like Florida State and Clemson, probably North Carolina, and maybe one or two others in the ACC, in order to get them emancipated from that conference where they can join one of the power schools that is willing to have them because of their open market value to the media companies. So I don't want to make it sound like this is going to be as easy as the dissolution of the Pac-12, but where there's a will, there's a way. I just don't see at this point a scenario where Florida State and now Clemson, and again, probably two, three other schools, come back into the fold. The writing's on the wall, but it's going to be a laborious, lengthy process, painful for those schools to get out.
It will be, but man, and they say if there was a legal loophole that would have been exercised by now. I don't know. I'm in agreement with you where if there's a will, there's a way. And it's now reaching the point where Florida State is no longer the outlier, the only school. I thought it was so big having Clemson join that. And once it's established that those schools could get out, how do you stop Miami? How do you stop North Carolina? How do you stop Virginia from getting out? And some folks might say, hey, why even mention North Carolina and Virginia? But the fact that neither the neither the Southeast Conference nor the Big Ten is in Virginia yet. That makes Virginia attractive. North Carolina is attractive. And, you know, obviously basketball is not the biggest issue, but it's part of it. So a lot of people are saying, and I tend to agree, of that group, North Carolina might be the most desirable school in the ACC for both the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten.
That's correct. North Carolina is going to become an inflection point where you will see wrangling between the two power conferences over which is going to get their claws into UNC ultimately. And I think as we look down the line, again, the ACC is in a pretty strong position from what I understand. I'm not an attorney. I try to read up and keep up on these things in terms of that grant of rights contract. But I keep coming back to this feels like an inevitability. I think right now it's about this strategy in chess match between the schools that want to break away and the ACC conference, with the X factor mediator being ESPN. To your point, Jim, ultimately, I think ABC ESPN benefits more from an environment where they can add North Carolina and potentially Clemson to the SEC. And so as these schools, which have their own interests they're looking out for, they're trying to brute force their way out of the grant of rights contract they have with the ACC. You know, it's just going to be a matter of at what point can all sides reach a settlement where the ACC feels like they can get a fair amount of, you know, financial remuneration, that the schools are able and willing to pay it. And maybe, again, ESPN comes in and says, like, hey, guys, this is the pound of flesh it's going to be necessary to extract in order to get you loose. Let's all come together to the table and come to an agreement. So I really feel like behind the scenes, there is probably the beginning stages of wrangling to just get to whatever that number is. It won't be quite what is stipulated in the grant of rights for a school to get out, and it will probably be substantially more than a school like Florida State or Clemson would like to pay in order to make the move. But long term, it will be to their financial benefit, so they'll do it.
Do you look at this like I mentioned Clemson joining Florida State helps that momentum? Is it a point where if a couple more schools join them, let's say along with Florida State and Clemson, it's the schools we mentioned, say North Carolina, Virginia, maybe Miami. I'm trying to think of the schools that would definitely get a Southeast Conference or a Big Ten invite, where now the rest of the schools say, hey, wait a minute, worst case scenario is somehow we lose, we get nothing. But if we can negotiate with those four schools, the payoff, hey, that's the best we're going to be able to do, is negotiate a deal with the four or five schools that want to leave.
Yeah, anything that weakens the internal cohesion of the ACC works to the breakaway schools' benefit. And, you know, I think back to the 80s when the transition in college football really started to happen was when Oklahoma and Georgia sued the NCAA to be able to have control of their own media rights. Well, there were a number of schools that didn't get involved in that lawsuit in name, but sent those schools money to help pay their legal bills, and Penn State was one of them. So from a strategic standpoint, from Florida State and Clemson's perspective, it would be great to have these other schools join them publicly. I do wonder if behind the scenes there's, you know, maybe a little bit of rah-rah going on from the likes of a Miami or a UNC. So, yeah, and just someone brought up to me last week that when we talk about this, maybe it's not super clear to the audience how all of this works. A grant of rights is exactly that. Each school owns broadcast rights for all of its sports. And so the way this works is that schools that are members of a conference sign over, they grant those rights to the conference. So the conference can bundle up the rights to broadcast all of its member institutions and negotiate the best media deals. So that's really what we're talking about right now. The ACC conference can negotiate for the rights of all of its member schools, and Florida State and now Clemson are arguing that they want to claw those back.
That's going to be the last note. Chris, thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hi, I'm Andrew Blake, CEO of Blake's Hard Cider Company, located on our fourth generation family farm here in Armada, Michigan. At Blake's, we value quality, consistency, and flavor above all else, and work hard every day to deliver our products to a store near you. Here at Blake's, we are all about the apple. The apples are grown, picked, pressed, and fermented right here. We aim to excite your taste buds and aspire to explore the flavors of the farm in every can. Enjoy a Blake's today with friends and family. Cheers.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.